Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A woman is attacked because she looks like Casey Anthony. A man dies after falling into a meat grinder. And a study shows that Portland's public transportation is a horrifying cesspool of bacteria.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, July 15th, 2011. An Oklahoma woman claims she was nearly killed last week by a crazed attacker who appeared to mistake her for soon-to-be-freed Casey Anthony. Samae Blackwell, sure, her name's Samae, told News 9 in Oklahoma that a woman entered the convenience store where she works around 10 p.m. last Friday, only days after Anthony was acquitted of murdering her two-year-old daughter. After purchasing gas, the woman waited for Blackwell's shift to end. Once it did, Blackwell says that the woman rammed her car with her own, causing it to flip 2.5 times. Blackwell said, "I got in my vehicle and began to back out and looked, and I could tell she was staring directly at me. I could almost see the white in her eyes."
Could she tell she was staring directly at her by looking at her?
Yes.
Okay.
She could tell.
That is an uncanny sixth sense she has.
She could...
She was able to look and see what someone was looking at.
I looked and could tell she was looking at me.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You're brilliant.
Anyway, the police report doesn't include the Casey Anthony stuff in it. And a TV news station reported the story by citing at least one police officer who said that was the attacker's motivation. The crash did happen, however, and police say that once they arrested the attacker, Shireen Nally, for assault and battery with a deadly weapon, she said that she rammed Blackwell's car because she was, quote, trying to save the children.
Well, yeah. Well, that follows naturally. You don't even have to say that.
Yeah.
Is there a picture of, what's her guts?
No.
Sammy?
Well, there's somewhere, but, you know.
Hizzlefritz?
Does
she look like Casey Anthony
is
my question.
Yeah, sure, why not? She also, weirdly
why
enough.
Why not, if you squint?
She also, weirdly enough, has a daughter named Kaylee.
Well, maybe not weirdly enough, Dawn.
Hmm.
Apparently, this is according to our friend Seamus, who I think just sits by, you know, his virtual radio just waiting to hear Casey Anthony news, or in fact, just the words Anthony or Casey. We could be talking about Ben Casey or Michael Anthony. It doesn't matter.
Casey Jones?
Yeah, really. It doesn't, you know, Anthony Michael Hall. It doesn't, just so he can weigh in about her relative hotness. He says, this is the Casey Anthony, hold on, let me just, a little Casey Anthony hotness update from Seamus.
criminal pervert in Colorado who says, not that he's a criminal, you understand, but says, I've seen some recent pictures of Casey Anthony. It's heartbreaking to say jail was not kind to her. Penthouse should offer her a makeover and a photo shoot. I second that idea, by the way, and I also third that. Dawn's the half there, so there's 3.5 votes for that.
Yeah, I have no opinion on that at all.
I'm saying by dint of not storming out of the studio, that's at least half a vote of yes.
Because I wasn't outraged on behalf of my gender.
That's
I therefore
right.
am voting half in favor.
Your sisters. Let's see. So anyway, so there you go. So that's your Casey Anthony hotness update from Seamus in Colorado. Excellent. Also, apparently, she's causing people to have their cars hit.
A 26-year-old man was killed in an apparent industrial accident at a Bar S plant in southwest Oklahoma. The worker died Wednesday afternoon after he fell into a meat grinder. According to officials, Michael Raper, 26,
has had a bad life already.
Yeah,
because of,
his last name is Raper.
Raper.
Was working late Tuesday night at the Lawton plant when the industrial accident occurred. He was reportedly responsible for cleaning the machinery. Raper reportedly slipped and fell into the meat grinder while still conscious. He lost both of his legs as a result. Also, he died. I'm not sure that it's really that relevant that he lost his legs in the meat grinder when he also, is dead.
Well, now they can save half on the casket.
Responding rescue crews worked for about 2 hours to free Raper from the machinery. He was then rushed to an area hospital where attending physicians pronounced him dead. He left behind a fiance and 4 children.
By the way, they can bury him in the Viachet model. Also, the words raper and machinery shouldn't be in the same sentence because it makes you think he got some
or
pneumatic.
Grinder.
Yeah, like some sort of, like that guy from Saw has just decided to start making porn. By the way, somebody just sent me, the American press just falls down on the job all the time here. Somebody sent me from one of the British tabloids that has not gone out of business a photograph of Casey Anthony, and it doesn't say from when this photo was taken, but it's a picture of Casey Anthony back when she was still hot, because apparently that is, that's apparently not the case anymore. Anyway, but it's back when she looked like Alanis Morissette. Also a picture of Samae Blackwell, who is a dish.
Oh.
Let me just tell you how hot she is. She's unbelievably, I'm going to be putting this up on the, you'll be able to see this at rickemerson.com/pictures.
Now, is she really, really a dish, or is she like a super, like really dishy for a woman who works at an Oklahoma convenience store?
Well, I mean, she's certainly that.
I mean, is she genuinely hot, or is she like Tara Reid hot?
Well,
like if she was working,
that doesn't even really mean anything anymore.
Well, it does. I've always thought, like when Tara Reid was at her best, she was one of those girls that you'd look at and you'd go, well, yeah, if she was working, at the Circle K, I'd think, wow, she's good looking. But as just sort of a movie star,
No, you're wrong about that. Anybody who's ever seen The Big Lebowski knows you're wrong about that. Mm. You are so unbelievably wrong about that. And that's probably, for the people who claim that you have a penis secreted away somewhere, that's proof that you don't. Huh. So I'm going to get this picture of her up. I would say she's definitely Oklahoma hot. And I would say if you sent her to a salon, for 5 or 6 hours to get her hair done L.A. style, she'd probably pass for L.A. hot.
Oh.
Got a little bit of an odd nose, but I mean, not nearly like Sarah Michelle Gellar does. All right, I'm going to be posting that at rickemerson.com/pictures. Visual aids for July 15th here in just a second.
Oh, wait, no, I'm looking at the Alanis Morissette Casey Anthony picture.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
there we go. Now
that.
I see both of them.
Yeah,
no, she's a good looking girl.
That's what I'm saying. She's cute.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. By the way, if you want to download this program later on, you can do it at via iTunes, or you can get it as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. It is here at Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com. Also available on your mobile device, if that's your pleasure, if that's your thing. You can get that at mobile.cascadia.fm. Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program is coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Mr. Big Jim Willie is going to be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. Today, talking about the trajectory and legacy of The Simpsons. That'll be coming up next hour. Talking about The Simpsons. Also, Corpse Watch and Top 5. Today's Top 5, Top 5 songs about jailbait. Also, that photo is now at rickemerson.com. Not a jailbait photo, but at rickemerson.com/pictures. Visual Edge July 15th. You can see this picture of Samae Zingham. And Casey Anthony.
Okay.
I keep wanting to. Here's the thing about that. This is like that whole thing when journalists, or whoever kept saying like Obama and Osama, and they would like mix it up. And then I went for like this. There was like a day and a half where I was really self conscious that I was going to do it. And so I would open my mouth and go, "Our president, Obama," because I was so afraid that I was going to do it that I would then psych myself out. But now I'm on this whole thing where when I open my mouth to say Casey Anthony, I'm always afraid that I'm going to go, that Kaylee Anthony, yeah, you know, and just, and then it just slows the whole thing down because I don't want to inadvertently say that like a 2-year-old pile of bones is hot.
No, no. People might get the wrong impression about you
if you did that.
I have sound on my computer for this, so I'll need that button pushed over there in your master control.
That's what I hear, Don.
Yes. The husband of GOP.
It'd be a lot cheerier if that were done.
Quite possibly, yes.
Okay.
The husband of GOP presidential hopeful Michelle Bachmann is defending his Christian counseling business amid reports that he used state and federal funding to try and turn gay people straight. This is also, by the way, amid a lot of rumors that he himself is a closeted homosexual.
I've never heard a single rumor about that.
Oh.
And don't get me wrong, I try to keep up on who's secretly gay. Mm-hmm.
Even, I think it was Anderson Cooper said something. What does that mean? He made some remark on his show the other night about, like, well, you know, the only way I don't know if Bachmann's going to be able to hide her husband, even if she keeps him in a closet. And he kind of smirked. No, if you've ever seen video of him or seen him talk or walk or just gesture with his hands.
Or hump a guy.
It's like all the gaydar just starts going off. I swear, it's like bells and whistles and sirens of gaydar when you see this guy. And I actually have a little...
Does he find it impossible to stop groping Tara Dublin's breasts? Because apparently that's the thing that all gay men everywhere love to do.
Now, on the other hand, he is married to Michelle Bachmann, and they have, like, I think, 4 children.
Who's married to Michelle Bachmann?
Marcus Bachmann, the man we're talking about right now.
I thought you were talking about Mitt Romney this whole time.
No.
Your syntax at the beginning made it sound very much like you were talking about Mitt Romney.
The husband of GOP presidential hopeful Michelle Bachmann.
Right. But you said
Mitt
Romney earlier.
How did that sound like Mitt Romney?
You said Mitt Romney at the top.
No, I did not.
Not in relation to this. You were talking about something, and then the words Mitt Romney came out of your mouth. Have you noticed that Mitt Romney looks like Powdered Toast Man?
It does a little bit.
He's got a whole, like, maybe I keep expecting him to sing, like, the Cling Tenaciously to My Buttocks song. Well, where is a picture of Michelle Bachmann's husband?
Online. He's a big kind of a doughy, white-haired kind of a guy.
A doughy? Well, that doesn't sound very gay.
Well, it doesn't, but then if you see him walk and talk and move around, then you go, oh. And here's the thing. He may not be gay, but he minces.
He minces.
I swear to God, he does that walking thing like he's trying to hold a pencil between the cheeks of his butt. And what? It's hard to explain.
What's his first name?
Marcus.
Marcus with a C?
Yes. So anyway, Marcus. And also, he has one of those Christian counseling businesses where he swears that he can, like, ungay people.
Well, I will tell you this.
By forcing Jesus into them instead.
First of all, every single photograph that comes up for him in Google Image Search, it's like this one shot that is apparently the most popular photograph of him where he's pursing his lips. So that doesn't help anything. I'll say he looks a little bit like Truman Capote. Also, even more than Truman Capote, plus he's married to a reptile, so that doesn't help. But even more than Truman Capote, Marcus Bachmann, Michelle Bachmann's husband, not Mitt Romney. Maybe it's because I secretly believe that Michelle Bachmann and Mitt Romney are having some sort of a torrid affair, which I do, by the way.
That would not surprise me.
I'm not saying it's a case. I'm just saying that's a thing that... Anyway, even more than Truman Capote, he looks exactly... I mean, you know those things that the cops do where it's like if you're a missing person and then they artificially age your photo to be like, she would now look approximately like this as 55 years have passed. If you were to age him, he looks exactly like this full-on closeted guy that was in my drama class in high school. We all knew he was gay, he didn't know.
He also looks like a big, tall, bloaty Newt Gingrich a little bit as well.
Yeah, I could see that.
But anyway, he has one of these counseling businesses where he believes that he can, like, force God into people and then force the gay out of them. And he's also gotten state and federal funding for this as well. In a lengthy interview with the Star Tribune, he said that Bachmann and Associates is not focused on turning homosexuals into heterosexuals, as has been reported. He did not deny that counselors at his clinics have attempted to convert gay patients, but he said it only took place when a patient asked them to. It's at the client's discretion, he said. His comments come after reports earlier this week, including an article in The Nation and a report on ABC Nightline, that Bachmann-run clinics were practicing counseling methods that many denounce as homophobic and are opposed by the American Psychiatric Association, the American Medical Association, and other professional groups.
We got to come up with a different term for homophobic, because people are using that in a way that it's really not meant to be.
No, because it makes it sound like, because that would be your scared of gay
people. I don't know that it's, that it's like they cower in a corner if one happens to be in the house like a spider. It's just that, I mean... It just seems like that's just an improper use of the language that annoys me. So I don't know what it would be. I don't know. What does it mean? What's the suffix if you just dislike something?
Well,
we could just say anti-gay, like, but they'd probably dispute that.
Miso for like misanthrope or misogynistic. Misohomosexual. It doesn't really roll off the tongue. So I don't know. We got to come up with something.
Hey, by the way, if you Google
haters.
If you Google image search for Michelle Bachmann's husband, there's multiple pictures of Cher that come up.
Yes, because Cher made a whole bunch of. She went public and said that she was outraged and horrified by his making gay people straight clinics. So okay. she went on the record with
By
that.
The way, we should not discount the idea that it is at the client's discretion and request and not theirs.
No.
Because I got to tell you, just in Utah alone, the number of people I knew who somehow had it beaten into them by the church somehow, had it beaten in them by the church that they ought to de-gay themselves and so therefore would voluntarily go to these places where they would get like electroconvulsive therapy. I mean, it was staggering, or perhaps not so staggering.
Well, part of all of this stemmed from a 2010 radio interview that Bachmann did, in which he seemed to refer to homosexual people as barbarians. Also, and again, if you want,
what do you mean he referred to gay people as barbarians?
Well,
that doesn't even make any sense.
Here's the tidbit.
Oh,
in
are
question.
We going to hear the actual
yes,
thing?
Yes. Here's okay. what he said.
We have to understand barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined. And just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road. That's what's called the sinful nature. And we have a responsibility as parents and as authority figures not to encourage such thoughts and feelings to move into the action steps.
Wow. So we have not only discipline, but also the phrase, they don't need to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
just
then...
Also, he sounds unbelievably gay. There's that as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He says this recording was doctored and he was discussing child discipline and it's been taken out of context. But anyway, NBC reported in June that Bachmann's Lake Elmo, Minnesota clinic had received over $137,000 in Medicaid funds since 2005.
What's the name of the facility?
I don't know. They're called Bachmann and Associates.
But what was that you just said?
His clinic is in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. It doesn't say what the name of the clinic is.
What an unfortunate use of the name Elmo.
Yeah. I'm
going to put electrodes on your penis.
Think about Jesus. This was in addition to the $24,000 in state and federal funds used to train the counselors.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
I'm going to strap a bag of vaginas to your face.
You didn't think you'd hear that today.
I really didn't. Didn't think I'd hear that phrase, nor did I think I'd hear it in that voice.
Hey, more of that next hour at rickemersonshow.com. In fact, we'll just start the show with 2 or 3 minutes of that. Rickemersonshow.com, where you can listen for the low cost of just 32 cents a day, really. And, I mean, let's be honest. Your entire monthly, I mean, really, nay, your annual subscription would be worth it just if all it was just what I did right there. And that's for free right here on this show. Coming up next hour, Corpse Watch. Mr. Big Jim Willig will be here with another installment of Humor Bee Comedy 101. And the top five here is Don Taylor.
A study released yesterday revealed how dirty TriMet's buses can be and showed that the cloth bus seats contained the most bacteria. The average sample bus seat contained about 80 colonies of bacteria. The study, conducted by the Oregonian newspaper and Portland State University, tested 13 random bus seats on five different lines. One TriMet driver, who asked not to be identified, said he was not surprised to hear the seats were nearly as dirty as the floors. He said, "I've seen seats soaked in urine, or there's fecal matter or vomit. You know, when someone has colic and kids vomit and mothers vomit and it's on the seat. I've seen it and I've smelled it, and with these cloth seats, there's no way to get them cleaned up."
And I suppose that would be a problem if you're, you know, licking the seat. I mean, really, what you thinking the germs are going to go through your pants and in through your skin?
Well, you're still going to get stuff, like, on your pants or on your hands.
Are you licking your hands all the time?
You may touch your face.
Maybe you touch your face after being in a TriMet bus.
You may open a soda and then put it in your mouth. I don't know, you know, people do.
If you're blind and having to feel your way for the seat, maybe.
Most people do not really think a lot about how much stuff they're touching, and then before they touch themselves or rub their eyes or what have you.
Maybe this is just a thing of like working in radio forever and really and literally just pressing my face up against a metal thing that has had just like the lowest rungs of humanity using it for the overnight shift to play Bachmann Turner Overdrive records.
Maybe.
You know, coming in after Don Halen doing the overnight, you know, where he's just sitting there just chain smoking and, you know, chain smoking and cold soaring his way, you know, through the night into the microphone, which I then have to use for the morning show or whatever. So I figure at this point, I'm just impervious.
Researchers tested the vinyl seats on MAX trains and found that they were much cleaner, averaging only about 2 bacteria colonies per seat. TriMet officials said they would be adding vinyl seats to 55 new buses over the next 6 months. The agency admits it was forced to make deep cuts to its cleaning crews, but spokeswoman Mary Fetch said it's impossible to keep a public space completely germ-free. She said, really, it's just about people practicing good health habits, washing their hands, things like that. Just really anything you would do at any other public space. She really overestimates the cleanliness of the general public.
Well, and also, I mean, I guess my whole thing is, because I think they were talking about this on the news last night, too, the idea that there's just filth all over the buses. And I think my response would be, well, and so what? Like, is everybody dropping dead if they get off TriMet or something? Like, was there an epidemic of people just passing out in the street after taking the bus and I wasn't aware of it? It seems like it's not harming anybody, is my point.
Probably not.
Like,
and also, you know, I don't think you really needed to be a study. I think it's just common sense.
The
cloth seats are going to be more of a haven for bacteria than vinyl seats, because vinyl seats can be, you know, hosed down and cleaned off.
Well, and it's also not even really as much the cloth seats as it is the fact that it's like your children. I mean, that really is what we're talking about here. People don't like to say that, but it's that your children are Petri dishes, and they just... And you want to talk about a group of people that has no idea that they shouldn't stick their hand up their ass and then, like, in their nose and then rub it around on a seat and then lick it and then do it all over again? That's children, and sometimes old people.
I just thought you were talking generally people who ride the bus.
Well, you said that, Don. I didn't say that. But I mean, honestly, I mean, kids are just like little, you know, they're nose miners all the time,
yeah.
You know, and then it's like that. And then that hand just, but you know, it's, if I had a nickel for every time I had to, you know, when I was taking the bus a few years ago, because when I lived in, it was near where I am now, but there was a while where I took the bus to work, and it was like, I'm just constantly across from some, and it's always, you know, like a 12-year-old sitting over there, just like scratching his crotch and sniffing his fingers, rubbing the seat. And it's like, what are you going to do? You know, humans are just filthy. They're just disgusting, horrible creatures. I'm including myself in that.
Well, speaking of Mitt Romney.
Yes.
He has some advice for President Obama on how to end the debt crisis.
Excellent.
During a town hall meeting in New Hampshire yesterday, the Republican presidential candidate said there are 3 requirements that must be met before the debt ceiling can be raised.
I'd like a back rub.
To be willing to raise any debt ceiling would be dependent upon cutting, capping, and balancing the budget with a balanced budget amendment.
Oh.
Well, see, he just needs a new speechwriter. That doesn't even flow.
To be willing to raise any debt ceiling would be dependent upon cutting, capping, and balancing the budget.
No. See, the way...
You need another C.
No, the way it needs to go is capping, cutting, and a constitutional amendment. Then you can make the...
Yeah.
And the last one can...
calculation. Something like that.
And the last one can be longer, because you're allowed to do that if you're listing off a series of things in a speech. You can end with one that's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go.
But it still needs that hard...
To be willing to raise any debt ceiling would be dependent upon cutting, capping, and balancing the budget with a balanced budget amendment.
And then he's just using the same... He's writing like George Lucas, where he just uses the same series of words, like back to back to back to back to back.
Romney said he would cut federal spending... Spunding?
Spunding. That's what the kids are doing these days.
Spunding. And then cap how much of the budget the government can spend.
Historically, it's been about 18.5% is what the federal government spends of our total economy. Right now, it's up to 25%. And it's going to go higher if this president has his way. And so I'd cap it. I'd say we're not going to go above a certain level. And then finally, I'd insist on a balanced budget amendment.
I live in fear that he's going to become president because there's nothing interesting about him whatsoever. There's not even really anything to make fun of. Have you seen the picture of what's her name, Shireen Nally, who ran down the Casey Anthony girl?
No.
She's crazy looking. And she looks like, not just crazy, she looks like she's having a really, really bad day, which I guess she is. I'll put that up in the visual aids thing as well. She's got kind of troll doll hair going on. Very unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, there she is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She doesn't appear to be very happy at all.
A Portland man went on a window-smashing spree early Friday morning in southeast Portland. The suspect even slammed his own body into the window of a business near Southeast 14th and Stark before shattering several more windows, according to Sergeant Andrew Edgecombe. Duncan broke the windshield of a parked car, then smashed in the window of the Hispanic News offices. Edgecombe was in the area and heard glass breaking, then saw Duncan throwing himself at the window of Thai Thai restaurant. It took a couple of tries before the window actually broke. Duncan then ran away and broke into a second-story window of his own apartment, and that's where police arrested him.
Did he just lose his keys?
Maybe. He just wanted to get all smashy.
Okay.
Search is underway for a woman last seen leaving the Rainbow Festival near Cougar, Washington several days ago. The Skamania County Sheriff's Office was asking for help locating 54-year-old Marie Hansen of South Lake Tahoe, California. Witnesses told investigators they saw Hansen leaving the area Sunday and possibly hitchhiking. Hansen was last seen with a man known as Owl, who was described as white, 6'1", with a thin build and gray hair.
Owl.
All right. At the Rainbow Festival.
Okay.
Let's do some science.
Let's. Here's your Science of the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com, or you can call 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and...
And?
And?
And ninjas.
And ninjas, yes. They're not really ninjas. You can also go to facebook.com/SquiresElectric. You can find out more about them there. You can read some testimonials from folks who have had Squires Electric come to their home or business and take care of all manner of issues and problems and conundrums and challenges and hurdles having to do with wires or wiring. You can have them come out there to make sure you pass your next inspection or just to get things installed properly. Or if you got a ceiling fan that's just been, you know, in a box in the corner of the living room for like, you know, a year because you can't quite figure out how it ought to be put together, you can have them take care of that. That's Squires Electric at 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. Here is Don Taylor.
Forget manufacturing cars, Rick Emerson. That is so 20th century. Growing cars. That's what we're going to start doing. Designed by the Los Angeles-based architecture and design firm Emergent, the semi-rigid concept car is built with a 3D printing technique that creates an outer body similar in both texture and form to cartilage. Constructed of polymers, resins, rubbers, and silicone at the molecular level, the cartilage-like material would be placed on the car's frame in varying degrees of thickness, resulting in a body that is rigid in places needed to protect drivers and flexible in places where impacts occur. Unlike conventional cars, which upon impact crumble in the front and the back, the semi-rigid concept car bounces back, absorbing the impact, while the cabin's structured frame keeps drivers safe.
Is a semi-rigid compact car anything at all like a Hobo Hump and Slobo Babe?
No.
Okay, just
nothing
checking.
Like that. There's a photo of it, by the way, available viewing.
That is at the Visual Aids, rickemerson.com/pictures/visualaids for July 15th.
The semi-rigid concept car would also use a blended construction process with materials that meld rather than fasten to each other, doing away with separate glass, machined steel, and sheet metal attachment points. Adding to the organic feel of this car is a shark's body concept, Emergent's effort to power the vehicle with colonies of photosensitive algae located in reservoirs deep within the car's anatomy. LED lights embedded within the algae reservoirs would allow for round-the-clock fuel production, producing biofuel as the car needs it, even without sunlight.
So this is going to be like that ship on Farscape that's like some weird sentient being or whatever.
It sounds very David Cronenberg.
It really does.
It's like you would get into it, and instead of using a key, you would just stick your arm into it, and it would ooze around your arm.
And the seat just kind of...
Yeah. According to Emergent, this car not only has the smooth exterior and aesthetic of the fastest sports cars around, but allows you the freedom of driving independently of gas pumps or even of electric vehicle charging stations.
And because it runs on...
It runs on algae reservoirs that produce biofuel inside the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just let me know when I can buy one.
President Obama spoke by phone today to the crews of the International Space Station and Space Shuttle Atlantis, who are in orbit. He thanked them, as well as the entire team at NASA, for the accomplishments of the shuttle program.
I know that there have been thousands who've poured their hearts and souls into America's space shuttle program over the last three decades that are following this journey with special interest. And to them and all the men and women of NASA, I want to say thank you. You helped our country lead the space age, and you continue to inspire us.
How is it that Obama can actually talk like a regular guy when he wants to talk like a regular guy? It's almost not even recognizable as Obama because he's not doing his Obama talk.
Well, they probably won't be here to vote.
Obama says it's by no means the end of American participation in space programs.
While this mission marks the final flight of the space shuttle program, it also ushers in an exciting new era to push the frontiers of space exploration and human space flight. Crew members like you will continue to operate the ISS in coming years and seek to use it to advance scientific research and technology development.
Probably because he realizes it would be strange if he were just to stand in the Oval Office and do that thing where he shouts, but like into a phone. You know?
Obama says he has set NASA's sights on Mars.
I've tasked NASA with an ambitious new mission to develop the systems and kinds of space technologies that are going to be necessary to conduct exploration beyond Earth and ultimately sending humans to Mars, which is obviously no small feat, but I know we're going to be up to the task.
Yeah, not going to happen.
It's like somebody dosed him with something.
I know.
It's like he's been given a strong Valium.
This whole debt ceiling thing has just got him all exhausted.
He's just sapped.
He's just tired.
Yeah.
NASA, whatever. Driven away by Somali pirates, international scientists are asking the Australian and U.S. navies for a favor. They want them to deploy 19 robotic instruments in the Indian Ocean to record critical data on climate and monsoon. The Australian and British robots will be released by the two navies over the next 6 months, and Thresher, the lead scientist with the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization, said this. She said, everyone is concerned about climate change, and this is the first big program that can monitor climate change in the ocean. The robots will collect key data used for forecasting monsoon and rainfall in Australia and South Asia. A hole in our observation means our errors are much larger, our uncertainties are much larger, and we can't tell farmers what to do because we don't know ourselves.
Our errors are much larger. Okay.
The nearly 6.5-foot-long robots are programmed to drift 1,000 yards for 10 days, then fall 1.5 miles into the ocean to collect data before ascending to the surface and transmitting information to satellites. They provide near real-time observations of conditions such as heat and salinity patterns, which drive the climate, and monsoonal systems that bring rain to Australia. So, yes, pirates, here's the thing. Pirates have made it so that scientists can't track what's going on in the ocean. So we're going to send robots.
Well, that seems like the best way to deal with pirates eventually anyway.
Is robots.
Some sort of pirate robot face-off on the high seas. I'd totally pay money to watch that.
For its entry into the U.S. tablet market, Sony Electronics is foregoing the common design popularized by Apple's iPad. The Japanese company's upcoming tablets look and feel more like folded magazines and a pair of sunglasses than the parade of rectangles on the market now. The first Android tablet, the S1, looks like dozens of other tablets at first glance, but the back has a wraparound curved lip that's supposed to feel like a magazine does when it's folded over. In a brief test Wednesday, this design felt more natural than some models with flatter backs. The second, the S2, resembles an oversized sunglasses case. The rounded metallic gizmo can be flipped open like a book to reveal two touchscreens, each measuring 5.5 inches diagonally. The split-screen design is appropriate for reading books, and Sony will include a version of its ebook software that's optimized for the device, but the S2 will still coexist with the dedicated monochrome display e-readers Sony sells. The S2's clamshell design, an old idea that has been resurrected from the flip phone era, is intended to make the S2 more portable.
And to make it a thing that I can break accidentally.
Yeah.
A thing that I can step
something,
on.
Something you can just snap off.
Yeah, that's great.
When you're not paying attention.
Something that's easier to damage. Here's the total lack of, not that a total lack of appeal, but I would say that it really does decrease the appeal that I can't use my collection of zinky magnetic bookmarks on any of these things. I mean, really, what do I own those things for?
Yeah.
Nothing. So, is this out now or is it coming out?
I think it's coming out.
All right.
They just finally. I don't know. I'm not buying one.
Like, finally, just went right to the who knows.
I'm not getting one,
there's
so
no
I don't care.
No way to figure it out.
That's all the science.
Okay, there you go. There's your, it's just as well, probably. There's your Science in the March brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com or calling 503-252-1609. That's 503-252-1609. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news and next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, we have a corpse watch. Also, the top five songs about Jailbait and Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio with... That's not top five songs about Jailbait and Mr. Big Jim Willig. Jailbait,
could, yeah.
Period. Also, comma, Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio today with another installment of Open Quote, Humor Me, colon, Comedy 101, period, close quote.
But he will probably have something to say about the Jailbait songs,
I would imagine he would.
A new OHSU breast milk bank is up and running in Beaverton. The goal of the clinic is to help critically ill infants in need of breast milk. So I'm assuming if you just walked in and said, I'd like to open an account, please, they would probably turn you away.
I'm going to just go right to withdrawals.
Mothers can donate their own breast milk at the site. It will then be shipped to San Jose, California to be processed and pasteurized. The milk will be distributed to critically ill infants all across the country. So it's not really a breast milk bank so much as it's a breast milk...
It's a food bank.
...collection center.
It's a breast milk food bank.
Breast milk food bank.
Because that's like you're not going and getting your old food out of there later. It's not like you stopped by to pick up that cauliflower you left them last week, so...
But your breast milk bank, I just think it's...
You think of it like a blood bank. Except the blood bank isn't really a blank bank either. You know, words don't mean anything anymore.
No. 14 cats were rescued from an apartment fire in Lebanon, Oregon on Thursday. 9 adult cats and 5 kittens suffered smoke inhalation when the fire broke out. A rescue team from the Oregon Humane Society removed the cats from the severely damaged apartment. OHS has been in contact with the animal's owner, who decided to turn over the cats because she was overwhelmed with caring for so many pets in her apartment.
Yeah.
Apparently so overwhelmed, she accidentally set her house on fire.
Well, how do we know that she actually did it?
Yeah, it was probably the cats. It was a cry for help.
That's what I'm saying.
Get us out of here!
Seriously.
Who can work a lighter? Where's the cat with the thumb? It's always a cat with a thumb.
Is it?
I had a cat who had a thumb.
I don't think thumb means what you think it means.
Well, some cats actually will get, like, the toe that's sticking.
That juts out?
Yeah, that juts out that looks like a thumb. And I kept trying to get my cat, I was trying to teach it to hold a pencil. And my husband at the time, my first husband, he was saying, you know, even if you teach the cat to hold the pencil, it's not going to be able to write anything.
Yeah, it can't take down your grocery list for you.
And I said, that's not the point. The point is, if I teach the cat to hold the pencil, and then somebody comes over and they see the cat walking around holding a pencil, it'll completely freak them out.
Especially if
it'll
you act awesome. like it's not supposed to be like, shh, no, the fluffers, put it down. Don't let him know.
Exactly. Not now. Yeah. Witnesses who watched a Northern California man get sucked into a Maui blowhole to his apparent death.
Well, I can laugh now because he's dead.
Say that the tourist was dancing around and frolicking in the sprays of water moments before the wave knocked him down.
Uh-huh. Is a Maui blowhole like a Mexican face hat?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Depends on how much you're paying for it.
All right.
Rocco Piganelli of La Jolla, California, said he stared in horror as he watched a large wave push the tourist into the hole off Nakalele Point on Saturday afternoon. The man popped up briefly with the next wave, then disappeared. Piganelli told Associated Press, "We all stared for like 30 seconds, and then I realized he's gone.
He ain't coming back.
He's down there.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going to throw up."
All right.
Says, the girl who was with him let out this horrifying scream.
I must have missed all of this, what with my laughter over his death. What is a Maui blowhole?
Well, if you've ever been,
like a sinkhole?
Well, it's kind of like if you've ever been on the rocks by the beach.
Right.
And there's a section where the waves come in and it shoots water
straight up
in the air. That's basically the thing.
Oh,
that's a blowhole.
No, those things will kill you.
Yeah. And this guy was, you know, on Maui. So they can get pretty intense there.
And he's from La Jolla. He should know better.
You'd think. But yeah, so he was there and apparently, according to the story, dancing around and frolicking.
Well, seriously, a guy from La Jolla, in La Jolla, if you go to Seal Beach, there's one of those. And I don't know what they call it there. It's a La Jolla blowhole or whatever. But I mean, where they have like huge signs saying like, A, stay away because the seals will kill you. B, seriously, they look cute, but they'll take off your hand, man. And D... Like, if you get near this water, because the thing is, the water comes in.
It's like a geyser.
It goes into this channel, and then it's so hyper-concentrated that it immediately shoots up. And, there's no way that if you were leaning out, it wouldn't just completely take you up with it.
Yeah. So, moments before he was washed away, his name was David Putz, by the way.
I regret this!
He was actually from San Anselmo, which I'm not sure where that is, but...
Sounds like they have water there, though.
Yeah. He, moments before he was washed away, Piganelli snapped a photograph of his daughter and friends. A giant spray of water is captured high above the three girls standing in their bikinis. A closer look at the photo, contained by AP, shows a man in shorts standing next to the blowhole behind a curtain of water. Piganelli identified the man as the victim.
That's great. Well done.
Yeah. And another woman who was there said it happened in a matter of seconds. It was very, very fast. We were watching it thinking, it's crazy that those guys are doing that.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And then there you go.
All right.
Public schools in California will be required to teach about the contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans. The measure was signed by the governor yesterday and takes effect in January. State Senator Mark Leno says it's overdue.
Let's see. This is history.
Yes.
Fact is, we have been censoring a very important chapter of civil rights history about a community that has been traditionally demonized and discriminated against.
Bill Roller of Alameda is one of those who fear teaching gay history is just one way the gay lifestyle can be taught in schools.
What about dancing?
Teach history without an agenda. Just teach straight history. Each individual is accredited for what they accomplished.
All right.
Why is it that they always sound like rednecks, even if they're in like the middle of like, I don't know, Orange County, California or something? Everybody who hates gay people sounds like a damn redneck.
Well, just because you live in Orange County doesn't mean you're not a redneck. Let's be clear about that.
It seems like a prerequisite for being a narrow-minded bigot is to talk like this.
When's the last time you
got a tin of chaw in your back pocket?
When's the last time you read any of the ruminations of the royal family in Saudi Arabia? They're freaking rednecks.
I just wonder if one of these guys like speaks perfectly normally, like, yes, hello, I'm a certified public accountant, and then as soon as he starts talking about gay people, he just starts laughs it into a drawl.
It's like it creates jowls on you just instantly. Yeah.
The fire-damaged Columbia Gorge Viewpoint Inn has been placed in Chapter 7 bankruptcy, a judge ruled yesterday. Trustees of the inn filed for bankruptcy liquidation as its owner sought to maintain operations of the historic inn, which was heavily damaged last Sunday after sparks from the fireplace ignited cedar shakes on the roof. There was no insurance on the building since the policy lapsed after owner Jeff Thompson and his partner stopped making payments earlier this year. The property was already in Chapter 11 bankruptcy to reorganize debts. The Chapter 7 listing will mandate the inn to be turned over to trustees. It will also cease operations. Thompson filed a last-minute motion to dismiss the bankruptcy claim and testified in a hearing that if he is able to rebuild the hotel, he'll pay creditors. Thompson has owned the inn for the past 14 years and initially planned to ask for help to raise an estimated $1 million to repair and bring the building up to code. Then, you know, it caught on fire. So much for that. Good luck with that, sir. Yeah.
Because it's Friday and therefore, you know, we're a bit wild and woolly, I'll just say that this is not me making this observation. It's somebody else who says, in reference to your last question, it's because they're all secretly part gay and their subconscious mind loosens their jowls for taking a penis.
I'm sure there may be some scientific validity to that. Yes.
I'm not saying that's accurate. I'm just saying that is one theory. That's merely a hypothesis at the moment. It's not, the scientific method has not been applied to it yet.
An Indiana business owner said that four children broke into his ice cream truck around midnight on Sunday. He knows because it was all caught on video. Mark Bragg, owner of Circus Time Ice Cream, said video captured by his security system shows children approaching the truck near the intersection of 29th and Pearl Streets on bicycles. Based on his observation of the video, Bragg said the children did not appear to be much older than 10 years old. Bragg said he lost about $100 to $150 worth of ice cream, but his ice cream truck was not damaged. How they were able to pry open the doors to the truck without damaging them, I don't know, said Bragg.
You know, but really, if he's driving an ice cream truck, let's be honest, $150 is like, I mean, that's like four cones, basically. Mm. Hey, here's a question.
Well, if that's wholesale prices.
Was there a time when ice cream trucks weren't creepy? Because Laura and I were at breakfast the other day. We were at the Tin Shed or whatever, and it's like the thing is driving by, and we hear that, you know, the ice cream truck coming down, that weird. And it's because A, it's like a music box, and also because they're constantly traveling, which means the sound waves are constantly getting either closer or further away until they sort of were warping. But it has that strange melted record sound of it coming through. Yeah. Was there ever a time when that didn't fill people with fear?
Well, I think maybe, like, when I was a child back in the 1800s.
When the ice wagon would come
by. When the ice wagon would come around. When old man Jenkins would pull up in his horse-drawn ice wagon. No, there were actual, honest-to-God, ice cream trucks. They were officially like good humor trucks.
Like a Schwann's truck.
Trucks, yes. Now, like it's some guy in a broken down like rape van and he's just a bunch of stickers on the side. Or you'll see a guy in like a Datsun pickup with a cab on the back and he's put like the stickers for the push-ups on the back and stuff. And then he plays music and he drives around. And those are exceptionally creepy.
I don't want to alarm you, but that may not be an actual, like, according to Hoyle, ice cream truck
but
coming
they,
by. That may just be some guy.
It is just some guy, but they do it. And you see more of those now than you see official ice cream trucks.
Okay. Because we get in my neighborhood, we get the actual, you talk about the skeezy, you know, sort of broken down trucks. But I've seen, I guess on Hawthorne, they, and thereabouts, like in the sort of nicer parts of Southeast, they have the ice cream, but it's one of those like smart things. One of those smart, like where it's a three-wheeled truck, you know, where it's kind of like those BMW smart vehicles they have parked downtown
like
by the World Trade Center.
Like a meter-made van or something.
Yeah, so they have that come by. But I mean, see, and this is exactly what I was going to say. It says you need to bring back the classic good humor man with the full white suit and the hat and everything. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's just a whole, either people
like
just...
Like Mr. Frosty on Pete and Pete.
Exactly. Because I think people either, they just don't even know about it, they don't think about it, or they just make, or they make the association with the guys from Womb Stretcher coming by to manacle your children. And I mean, that's yeah. no association you want.
And honestly, even when I was a kid, it wasn't all that savory because I realized it was an actual, honest to God, ice cream truck. But there were apparently a lot of rumors that the guy also dealt weed.
Well, and the
because
ice cream...
he'd come to neighborhood and all the teenagers would run over there first. And so there was a lot of rumors going on that the guy was dealing weed as well as ice cream out of the truck.
Or maybe they already had the weed, and so the ice cream seemed like the best idea ever.
That too.
My mom did this really smart thing when I was a kid where, you know, the ice cream truck was, like, rolling through the neighborhood, and I was like, oh, it's the ice cream truck, I gotta get ice cream, I gotta get ice cream. And she didn't say no. What she did is she said, okay. She's like, I'll tell you what. She's like, now, if you really want some ice cream from the ice cream truck, we'll go get some. You just, you know, it's. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be nearly as good as you think it is. But we can go get it if you want. And I was like, I was so overtaken with the novelty of a guy, like, delivering ice cream basically right to my hands that I was, you know, I was just obsessed with it. And so I said, no, I want to do that. And so she flagged down the ice cream guys. He rolled in front of our house. And she paid him even then, and this would have been in, like, 1980, maybe, 1981, what seemed like, I mean, in retrospect, it couldn't have been, I mean, it couldn't have been more than... you know, like $2, but still, it was like $1.70 or like $1.50 or something. It was some, I mean, for then, it was like paying $6 for it now. And I have to tell you, it was also bad. The ice cream just wasn't very good. And so I remember kind of eating it, and I, you know, and of course you're paying, you know, for this ice cream, and it came out of this magical thing, and there's a guy, and he's got the outfit, and there's the music box, and there's the menu on the side, and it seems magical. And I remember taking my first kind of bite of the ice cream and going, well, this isn't very good. And then she just said, it's not very good, is it? And I said, no. And she said, you know, for what I just paid for that, we could have gotten a gallon of ice cream at the store. And then she just sort of, like, smiled and patted me on the head. And so that was like a little lesson in economics from my mom and the idea of impulse control.
That was very smart
so,
of her.
And I got to tell you, like, from then on, I just never had any desire to purchase anything off, you know, anything off an ice cream truck. But it does have, because it does work on some weird subconscious part of your brain. There is some strange... It's like when the Cosmo.com guys would come to your home for, like, you know... I don't know, for whatever the normal price was, and they'd deliver ice cream and penthouse to your place at like 2:30 in the morning, which was awesome for no markup. And I remember when Cosmo.com was in existence, Laura and I doing the same thing, and it was the same part of the psyche being enacted upon, where we would order just like a thing of Cherry Garcia and like a Hustler when we didn't really need either of those things, just because we were so enraptured by the idea that the guy would come to our home and give it to us.
My friend Mark grew up in Virginia. And there was, he lived, and when he was going to school, he was living in a college town, and they had a place that delivered pie. And I still think that is just the best thing ever. I want that to actually exist here in Portland, a place that's all they do. They make pies, and they deliver pies. You just call them up, and you get a pie. Because
is there that much demand for pie?
I don't know, but it seems like, well, if you're near a college, I would imagine that, you know, if they're reasonably priced, you could probably do well on late nights, particularly
probably.
On Fridays and Saturdays. But it just seems like that would be a thing I would purchase because, I don't know, but I'm like you with the markup thing. Like I mentioned yesterday when I was going home that I was having this junk food craving. I knew I was going to go home and I was going to eat a tuna sandwich. And then I thought, ooh, I want Cheetos with my tuna sandwich. Then I also thought, ooh, it's the night Patrick's not going to be here. I want ice cream. And then I realized I was going to be walking into a store and just buying Cheetos and ice cream. And I would look like a disgusting pig of a human being. So then I started thinking, what else could I buy? Like fruit. I'll just pad the groceries so that no one knows that I'm just really here for the... Nah, I'm lazy. I'll get a 7-Eleven. And I went to the ice cream thing, and I looked, and they want, like, $5.49 for a pint of, like, of Ben and Jerry's at 7-Eleven.
No. The key is to go to Plaid Pantry.
And I just went, No.
You got to go to Plaid Pantry. Ice cream is much cheaper at Plaid Pantry for the same size.
So I ended up not having any ice cream because I just looked at it and I went, what? No.
No, don't ever go to 7-Eleven for that. You should have called me. I would have told you where to go.
Well,
send me a text. Say, where do I get ice cream cheaply? But Plaid Pantry. I mean, relatively speaking. I mean, it's still cheaper if you go to the supermarket, but in terms of convenience stores or if you just want a small amount, you know, and here's the thing. You go to Plaid Pantry, they've got Bunny Tracks ice cream, which is quite good.
Oh.
Rick Emerson gives that a big thumbs up, just FYI.
Well, I'll remember that. Yeah, I ended up being ice creamless because I just didn't want to pay their crazy exorbitant prices.
It is a horrible existence, isn't it, Don?
First world problems.
We should find somebody who's poor in another country and occasionally and just call them once a day. and let them know exactly what it is that's plaguing our white existences here in Portland.
I'm talking to you, the thing that's bothering me about my iPhone today, yeah. Samed.
We should call the guy who makes your iPhone and complain to him about an app that doesn't work quite as advertised.
My food is filled with maggots.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to pay more for Netflix now.
Somebody wants to know, what are those things that are red, white, and blue rocket cones called?
There's apparently called rocket pops,
are they?
They?
I don't know. There's a name for them. I don't really know.
And you'd always get those because they seemed like they were a good deal because they were bigger and longer and for the same amount of money, but they didn't taste as good.
They taste like soap is what they taste like. Yeah.
Let's do entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Friday right here at Legion of News.
Kate Hudson and her fiancé Matt Bellamy have named their baby boy Bingham.
I'm sorry?
Bingham.
Okay.
The couple chose the name on Wednesday. She has two other sons with her ex-husband, Chris Robinson. Bingham Bellamy.
Okay.
Is his name. Actor Robert Blossom, who played Macaulay Culkin's neighbor in Home Alone, died July 8th of natural causes in Santa Monica, California. The 87-year-old starred in The Hospital, The Great Gatsby, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Resurrection, and Doc Hollywood. Boardwalk Empire actress Paz de la Huerta was set to plead guilty to harassing former reality star Samantha Huerta, but a judge has postponed her court date to July 28th. De la Huerta was charged with third-degree assault after her March confrontation with Huerta in Manhattan Standard Hotel.
Who was that?
Paz de la Huerta.
But who would she be on Boardwalk Empire?
Oh God, I think she's the creepy mistress girl.
Oh, she's the kind of looks like a melted Gretchen Mol.
Yeah, she's kind of a
Jennifer Tilly
thing. A skeezy Jennifer Tilly sort of a thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, she if she pleads guilty to harassment, she'll be fined and ordered to perform a day of community service. Accused killer Drew Peterson wants to shut down production on the TV movie Lady Killer, The Drew Peterson Story. The Lifetime project, which features Rob Lowe as Drew Peterson. Peterson's lawyer, Walter Maxim, sent a cease and desist letter to all parties involved on Wednesday evening.
I forget, what is even up with him? Has he been convicted or is he just...
No, I think he got away with it. Meaning he's innocent, obviously.
Well, I mean, he's not on trial now.
No.
So you can't call, I mean...
They call him accused killer. He was accused of killing his wife.
No, but it just seems like you can't actually call the movie Lady Killer.
I know.
The Drew Peterson story. I mean, that does seem like a thing that's begging to be sued.
Well, yeah.
That's the reason why lawyers have jobs, is that right there.
Fans packed theaters for midnight showings of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, the final film in the series about the boy wizard. You know who did not see that movie last night at the midnight screening was our friend David Walker, who I saw on Facebook. He was saying, I'm going to go see Harry Potter tonight at midnight. And I'm looking at this, and it's like 8:30.
No, you're not.
And I'm going, no, you're not. And then I'm going to see it again tomorrow with my mom.
Did he already have tickets?
No. And because then he's on Facebook later going, they're sold out at the Roseway, so I'm not going to see it tonight.
There seemed to be a bit of a line at the Harry Potter film.
It's like there were a whole bunch of people there.
I didn't anticipate such a rush to see this filming experience.
And I knew at like 8:45 when he was announcing that. I said, are you still at home, sir? Because, no, you're not going to be seeing
it. Are you serious?
I am dead serious. Is he
on some kind of medication recently?
He was going to go to the midnight show, and then he was going to go with his mom today because his mom said she couldn't stay up that late. And he called her a punk-ass bitch, I think. And then later he comes on Facebook and goes, well, hell, the Roseway was all sold out. Guess I'll just see it tomorrow.
I don't understand. I mean, it's not like he just fell off the wagon or something,
no.
Or the truck or whatever it is.
The
wagon?
The turnip truck.
The turnip truck?
Yeah.
He didn't just come off the thing that has the other things on it with the people that aren't that bright.
Right.
He's a film critic.
I know.
Is that it? Is that why, do you suppose? It's because he doesn't typically pay for films?
I think that's it. He's not used to like going
standing in line and buying a ticket.
The people are paying money for
Hey, David Walker, how much does a gallon of milk cost, huh? Out of touch with the people.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the horrible thing is I kind of feel bad for him, but then again, I really don't feel that bad. Because if you're waiting until 9:30 to see the late showing of Harry Potter, well, of course you're not going to get to see it. What are you, high? That's just insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he figured he'd just like, about, 11:15, he'd just walk down the street and just go see it,
No. No.
It's midnight.
That's
who's going to be there?
That can't be. No.
Yeah. These youngsters watched it at a drive-in theater in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Let's see.
It's magical and fun. You just want to be part of it.
I've seen every single one since I was a little kid.
I mean, I love this movie series. It's amazing.
This fan says she grew up with the movies.
I'm obsessed with Harry Potter, and we've been watching it since we were little, and it's like we're graduating.
Well, I was thinking about that. So the first one came out in 2000, so it has been 11 years. So if you were like 8 or 9, you're almost 20 now, having seen Harry Potter. So as much as I think it's probably X number of either cynics or older people or possibly both kind of roll their eyes at the idea of, like, we've grown up with these movies and it's like graduation. It really is, because it spanned, so it's 10 years. So it's actually spanned a longer period of time than the first trilogy from Star Wars did. Because the Star Wars trilogy is what? It's like, 6 years? 77 to 83.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is really almost double the length of time. So, I mean, there are people as long as they have been old enough to really have any sort of, like, sense of films as a thing, they've been making Harry Potter movies. And I was actually watching part of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone last night. And as much as there's a few things about that movie that I don't really care for, it follows the trajectory of the books in that they get better and more mature and sort of darker as they go along. And there's a little bit of the CGI that looks a little hinky. But I got to tell you, they really lucked out when they cast those kids. I mean, I don't know who ultimately made the casting decision for the Harry Potter films, if it was Chris Columbus or if it was J.K. Rowling or if it was somebody else. Whoever finally settled on those kids, they must just wake up every morning and just thank the God of their understanding that they did so, because they really lucked out.
Well, there must be some kind of algorithm that they use now, that maybe the Disney Corporation developed or something in their labs, where they can now figure out if kids are going to grow up attractive or not, or if they're going to have, like, awkward periods and they're not going to be able to use them anymore. Because that used to be a real problem in show business. And it's like ever since, you know, Disney Channel started, like, just growing them on farms for their TV shows, you know, just like in little Shia LaBeouf bats and stuff. Now it's like they seem to have really figured out how to tell if a kid's going to grow it. I saw a photo yesterday of the kid who played Neville Longbottom.
Uh-huh.
He's handsome now.
Yeah.
He was an awkward looking kid.
Yeah.
And he's gotten the teeth fixed, and he grew up to be a very handsome young man.
Who was it that Sarah had, like, some weird, strange crush on? And it's like he first started acting when he was, like, 7. And it wasn't Haley Joel Osment or somebody, but it was some guy that, you know, he continued to act, but he got his first gig when he was, like, 8 or 9 years of age. And when he was, like, 12, Sarah was like, let me just tell you, he's going to be a fine-looking man. And it was just, you know, the sort of thing that I could never get away with saying about, like, anybody. I wrote this, actually, some years ago, I wrote this this essay called But Is She Effable? Which is exactly what you're talking about. And I wrote this essay that was an essay written as though it were taking place inside a conference room where a group of executives at a company like Nickelodeon or Disney were discussing the crop of actors and actresses who had just left the room, who were all like 9 years of age. And they were having this sort of, like, this stays here in the room with us conversation about, okay, but I mean, would you? I mean, not now, of course, but I mean, in a couple years, would you? I mean, yes, you, Bob, Frank? Susie? Okay, well, no, but if you had a penis? Yeah, you would. Okay, great. Okay, hey, bring Allison back in here. She's the girl we're going with, you know? And I have no doubt that conversation takes place.
Yeah. These Potter fans say they wouldn't have missed it for the world.
I grew up with it. It's my childhood. I love it. Like, when we look back, that's what we're going to think of, is I got to see all of the movies.
And that was, you know, and the idea that you got to see all those things in the theater, too, is pretty great. That's, you know, a lot of times these sagas last so long, or, you know, or more often than not, the sagas that you are told about or that you constantly think you have to hear are things that your older brothers or your older siblings or parents, I mean, kids who are growing up now just have to hear about Star Wars all the goddamn time, and how you kids don't know what films are, and I stood in line to buy a Jawa toy when I was 10 or something, which is fine, but I'm just saying, it's like we were talking about with, we were talking about this with Ryan White. I forget who it was. We were talking about an artist and the idea that we're lucky enough to be living at a time now where you can, you know, you can be walking the earth at the same time as, like, a Paul McCartney or a John Lennon. And the idea that you are alive when those films are coming out, and it's not having to be something that you hear about from day one, to where the magic is almost kind of ruined for you because you hear about it constantly. You know, that you're able to kind of be there at the birth of it and see them in the theaters. I mean, that's a thing that is not an insignificant perk. We got like 15 seconds.
Okay, well, the Avett Brothers debuted a new song called The Once and Future Carpenter on an episode of the CMT show Unplugged. They're currently working on their 11th studio album, their major label debut, I and Love and You, was released in September 2009. That was their major label debut, and they're currently working on their 11th studio album.
Yeah.
But yes. But anyway, yeah, they debuted a new song on the CMT show, and the Avett Brothers are awesome.
They popped up in an episode of Brothers and Sisters last night, actually.
Ah.
which is the thing around which my whole life apparently revolves at this juncture. Because I'm lame. All right. And with that, we bring down the curtain on this, another exciting episode of Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next hour, some of you anyway, at rickemersonshow.com for the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Today featuring Mr. Big Jim Willig, Top 5, and a corpse watch. Don't forget, we come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District of Gloria, Southeast Portland, Oregon, at the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology, Magic Bird of Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. This program available later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. We will see you Monday at noon for another episode of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying weekend, won't you?